The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How's that lighting on Skype? My mom is back in her old studio, covered in volcanic ash with a work light on me.
That's, well, yeah. It's incandescent,
though. So I have mood lighting in here. It's a little dark.
It's incandescent, and so it hides your wrinkles.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. We have a big, big show. Happy Earth Day, Bill Nye the Science Guy, coming up in just a few minutes. And it's our very first edition of our weekly visit with Representative Ellen Grayson, who I haven't named it, Gavin with Grayson.
No, that's dumb.
Come on, someone help us. What's the feature? He's our very own congressperson now.
That's right.
Not in the sense we purchased him like some people do. He's doing this for free, but we love him. And he will be doing a weekly, you know, like Tom Hartman has
Breakfast
Bernie
with
Sanders.
Bernie.
Ellen Grayson is mine. He's mine. Mine.
Why don't we just call it Tuesdays with Maury?
No.
Oh.
Something with Grayson. Something. All right.
Or something
Reverend
with Alan.
The official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Jim Wallace, coming up. Representative Allison Schwartz and Representative Loretta Sanchez. Wow, it's a jam-packed humdinger of a show.
Yes.
She was doing a kick-ass job last night on TV on the Zeke Heil.
Which one?
Law in Arizona, the immigration. May I see your papers?
Oh,
law.
Loretta Sanchez.
Yes.
Okay.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite, by the by. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, the offer code is Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Do it now. Do it before it's too late. All right. What is with these Republican women? Seriously, they are like Saturday. You really don't know if you're watching a Saturday Night Live sketch.
What happened now?
First you have Caribou Barbie, then you have that crazy Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Don't they all seem like some sort of, they're Saturday Night parodies of themselves? Saturday Night Live.
They're like central casting. They're like,
just dopey as the day is long, and yet pretty. It's like the dopey Pretty Sisters.
And yet they, well, I don't know, some of them win. I don't understand that.
Well, okay, if Harry Reid loses to this dimbulb, I guess he deserves to lose. Sue Loudon?
Yeah.
I was like, is this real? She's ahead in the polls against Harry Reid?
It's by 10 points.
Let's hope not after this. You really think, oh, no, this is a joke. You think, oh, she misspoke and it's kind of funny and she'll correct it. No, she actually said that you should barter with your doctor for health care. That's her idea for health care. And she said, for instance, offer him a chicken like they used to do in the olden days.
Is that what they do in Nevada?
Well, she said in the olden days you would offer him a chicken or to paint his house or something. And so she doubled down on it. She's like, no, that's what I meant. And, okay.
Would-be Senator Sue Loudon is now becoming famous coast to coast for her unique proposals for how Americans should deal with the expense of health care.
Let's change the system and talk about what the possibilities are. You know, before we all started having health care in the olden days, our grandparents, they would bring a chicken to the doctor.
Oh, I love chickens.
Are they extra crispy original recipe?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Doc, my foot feels so good, I brought you this pig. This pig's all I got to give.
They would bring a chicken to the doctor. They would say, I'll paint your house. They would do, I mean, that's the old days of what people would do to get health care.
But I guess she's done a favor to the voters of Nevada who now know her health care plan, which is poultry for physicians.
Thank you, Shano. Now, so does it have to be a live chicken, or can you just
one
go
would think
buy a Purdue? And well, in that case, do they want it whole, or do you want it in the pieces?
I would think a live chicken, because there's more you can
or
do with a
cooked
live chicken.
What's that?
There's more you can do with a live chicken. You can, you know, cook it, or you can breed it, or, you know,
it
get its eggs, or
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
So I would think I would prefer a live chicken if I were a doctor.
You know, I've been emailing back and forth with our friend Dr. Dan, who, you know, used to be my old radio producer,
yes,
who we found, who's this famous orthopedic surgeon now in Chicago.
Yes.
Who's doing the Lord's work. He does surgeries for people without insurance, whatever. I think we need to get him back on and find out if he would accept poultry. as payment, or what he thinks of that whole idea.
Or painting of your house.
Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Republican health care plan. Alan Grayson will ask him later. Apparently, it's not just die. It's first try and offer a chicken, and then if that doesn't work, then you'll have to die.
Yeah.
Okay. For God's sake, just die.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. I will be on the Ed Show tomorrow night on MSNBC and then having dinner with Ed and Wendy, so I'll have some stories hopefully on Monday. All right. Patrick, in the meantime, emails me with some breaking news this morning. President Barack Obama is expected to nominate Jesus Christ, an immigrant originally born to a virgin mother in Bethlehem, to fill the new vacancy on the Supreme Court. Although Mr. Christ is over 2,000 years old, he is immortal, so Democrats and Republicans expect he will serve on the High Court forever until he decides to start the end times. Republicans are expected to fight the nominations on the grounds that Mr. Christ would radically move the court to the left.
Computer 13?
Yeah.
You could take your organ out for this if you want. Mr. Christ, according to many authorities, is expected to oppose the death penalty in all forms. Michael Steele, the head of the GOP National Committee, issued a statement. Christ is a complete mystery to us. He won't reveal his physical appearance, and many of his positions are unknown or the subject of speculation. He's a stealth candidate. Why won't he reveal himself? Who does he think he is? Republicans are reportedly outraged Mr. Obama even considered Mr. Christ, who had widely been quoted for his sentiments supporting the poor over the wealthy. In a Facebook post, former half-term Alaska Governor Sarah Palin called for an investigation into the Bethlehem chapter of Acorn because of what she termed the highly suspicious coincidence that both President Obama and Mr. Christ had each spent 3 years as community organizers. Representative Michelle Bachmann, Republican of Minnesota, asked, we're not even sure where he was born. Why is he afraid to show his birth certificate? According to Rush Limbaugh, Christ doesn't know anything about free enterprise. This is part of the Obama conspiracy to drag us into socialism. Sobbing, Glenn Beck attacked Christ's support for the separation of church and state, telling his audience, you know who else wanted separation of church and state? Hitler. Democrats are hopeful that Mr. Christ's past associations with prostitutes will earn him at least one Republican vote, that of Senator David Vitter, Republican of Louisiana. That's very funny, Patrick. That must be something floating about the internet.
I think so. The interlink.
John Fugelsang has made this very case on this show. He would, that would be true. Christ today would be considered. Funny, these people call themselves Christians. We'll have to talk to Reverend Wallace about that later.
I think we will.
And he's like the last person that could ever get confirmed to the Supreme Court. He's a crazy socialist radical.
Immigrant.
Exactly. He'd have to shave. Exactly. He wouldn't have the correct papers.
That's right.
He couldn't go through Arizona. He couldn't.
And Reverend Wallace is in Arizona right now.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Speaking of doing the Lord's work.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of the Supreme Court, here's one thing that will come as a great disappointment to many of us.
What?
You know who else could never be on the Supreme Court?
Who?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, that's correct. And here's why.
too many skeletons in that closet?
Well, A. B, they have a case before them that is befuddling them because of technology, and Stephanie Miller noted...
Technophobe.
Oh, you know what I just did? You know Sean, my engineer here?
Yeah.
He's like God to me. You know why?
He fixes things.
Yes. My sports watch, you know, because I make you do this when I'm in L.A.
Right.
The battery ran out yesterday, so I had to have it replaced.
Yeah.
But then it's entirely on the wrong time and date. How would one have any idea how to fix that? One wouldn't unless one worked with Sean.
Well, also.
I came in and I do the face and he knows. I'm like... John, it's just I do. It's the practiced helpless girl face that we all practice.
You also don't help because you don't save like the owner's manuals for things like this. And so changing the time on a sports watch is quite complicated.
No, and yet you guys just instinctively know how to do it. Why? Because you have a penis. I don't know why. It's just Sean, it took him about 20 seconds. He's never seen a watch in his life.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. It takes, but you know what does take practice is that girl face. You've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
You make your eyes really big and just...
Yeah.
Just particularly helpless and kind of...
I got that a lot when you first got your BlackBerry.
Please. Exactly.
Yeah.
Please. I don't have a penis. Can you help me? All right. So anyway, but yeah, there is a sexting case that is befuddling the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So they're stupider than I am about this. They don't know the difference between email and a pager.
Right.
The case
well, people don't
this,
have
right?
pagers anymore, though. That's the thing.
I don't doctors even?
No.
Pagers, beepers, whatever.
I think pagers went extinct about 5 years ago.
Mm. You can tell Clarence Thomas probably particularly particularly interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just have to write a note about the pubic hair on the Coke can. Really? You can do it? Show me how.
Can you get porn on a pager?
How do you? Wow. Show me. Where's the app for that? The case of City of Ontario versus Kwan, which concerns sexting via employer-issued pagers and bears major implications for employee privacy rights, headed to the Supreme Court. The case concerns Sergeant Jeff Kwan and three other plaintiffs, including Kwan's wife and mistress, who were employed with the Ontario Police Department. The plaintiffs sued the chief of police for reading sexually explicit messages that were sent via pagers provided by the department. A lower court ruled in favor of plaintiffs in 2008. Now the defendants have appealed their case, which is headed for the Supreme Court. So it seemed the justices required clarification on some, they don't know the fun facts either. Let's see, Chief Justice John Roberts, who was known to write out his opinions in longhand with pen and paper instead of on a computer, asked, what's the difference between an email and a pager?
No.
Dopey, even I know that. Justice Anthony Kennedy asked what would happen if a text message was sent to an officer at the same time he was sending one to someone else. Kennedy said, does it say your call's important to us and we'll get back to you?
Computer says no.
Yeah, morons. Dear God.
Don't you have to be a productive member of society to be on the Supreme Court? I mean, are they really that sequestered?
Justice Antonin Scalia said, you mean the text doesn't go right to me?
What?
He didn't realize there's a provider that it goes. Okay.
Oh, God.
Then he asked whether they can be printed out in hard copy. Oh, God. Yeah, and then Clarence Thomas said whatever he said. I don't know exactly whatever Scalia doesn't know. Can you print out a text in hard... No, you idiots, for God's sakes. You know what? I take that back. I could be on the Supreme Court. I would like to hereby throw my name into the ring, Mr. President.
Stephanie Miller.
There you go.
That's, yeah.
Rumor has it he's looking for a chick.
There you go. I can answer all of those questions. 19 minutes after the hour. Happy Earth Day. Back with Bill Nye, the Science Guy, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hi, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, everybody. Alan Grayson, Congressman Extraordinaire, he's our very own personal congressman.
That's right.
Coming up for our very first weekly segment in just a few minutes. But first of all, everybody, happy Science Day. Let's say hello to Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Happy Earth Day, Bill.
Happy Earth Day, Stephanie.
You know, I'd forgotten all about this since I bought my first pair of Earth shoes in the 70s.
With the heels lower than the toes.
They were blue.
That's
suede.
Right.
I'll never forget them. So, you know,
stretches your calves.
An interesting time, right? Talk to us about volcanic ash. Here's a new thing that we hadn't dealt with lately. I mean, this grounded literally presidents, right, and world leaders everywhere.
That's right. So this volcano, you know, as volcanoes, Iafilical. This volcano is not especially big, as volcanoes go. But it happens to be just upwind of London Heathrow Airport, which is
made right.
Things. And, you know, when people talk about ash, Stephanie, from a volcano, it's not like ash in the fireplace or the barbecue pit.
Right.
It's like rock that's as fine as flour, as baking flour. And
wow.
You get that stuff in jet engines. It's just a mess. You know, and when Mount St. Helens blew up, which is a little different geology, but very similar steam-driven ash cloud thing. It's just made a mess. I mean, you just got to stay out of the way if you're a jet airplane.
Right. What is the science behind it, Bill? That, you know, I've heard that there might be a second eruption. I mean, once there is one, is it more likely?
Well, I mean, understand this is a rift in the ocean floor. This is where the tectonic plates are being reborn, or the new edge is being created. It's a geologically active area. The hot magma from below the Earth's crust is getting up very near the Earth's surface and is driving all this stuff out of the volcano. And the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. You had a couple weeks of a volcano. I mean, it's not even the blink of an eye in geologic terms.
Right, right.
Not the humans.
Now, Bill, I don't mean to draw you into the politics of this and confirm that God is clearly a Democrat, but Bobby Jindal, do you remember Governor Jindal was sort of mocking volcano monitoring and saying that was a waste of money? Do you remember that?
Seriously, it's a guy, the guy just hasn't traveled very much. He didn't realize that we have volcanoes in the United States.
Right.
We have, with many people, if you watch science fiction movies, think of volcanoes with the oozing lava. We've got those in Hawaii. Then we have these explosive, steam-driven, and there's a great word, phreatic volcanoes in Pacific Northwest. I mean, the whole thing, Mount Shasta, Mount Adams, Mount Jefferson, Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, then Mount Baker, all the way up to Alaska. These are all volcanoes.
Right. Bill, talk to me.
Louisiana just didn't realize.
Exactly. You know, I was reading something today about, you know, the challenges to the planet today are largely invisible and therefore tougher to tackle, you know, as opposed to when Earth Day started. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, Earth Day started with pollution, which was a huge problem. You know, we had so much acid rain. How much acid rain do we have? That people were dying. People would breathe smog at night and wake up dead. And so that's where Earth Day started, but now we have
climate. In 1970, right.
Yes, I was there. It was before disco, people. It goes back.
But the good news is smog levels have dropped nationwide, correct?
In the U.S., because we've been so aggressive or somewhat aggressive with our catalytic converters and stuff on cars, but in the developing world, people want to drive cars, and not all of them are especially clean. Although there's a lot of natural gas vehicles. I digress. The big thing is there's 6.8 billion people. That's the trouble. All these people trying
to... So Bill Nye is closing today by saying, stop having sex, people, and save the planet. Bill, I am so sorry. We're out of time. I would love to have you back because I love talking to you. I haven't seen you in years. I'm so sorry. We're hitting a hard break, but thank you so much.
A hard break. Careful.
Look out, everybody. Put your helmets on.
Science guy.
There he goes. Bill Nye, science guy. Happy Earth Day, everybody. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Alan Grayson next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
As a cougar.
Wait, I thought you said a cougar can't be over 50.
Okay, she's a melon camp.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ed in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry, I had you on speaker. Hey, love your show. Look,
Thank you, baby.
To comment about that dingbat out in Arizona that talks about taking chickens to the doctor.
Yes.
Look, and
Sue Loudon.
In Nevada, that's actually.
It. Nevada, yeah, go ahead.
Nevada. Look, as a black
Arizona's
guy,
the other stupid law.
They're all silly out there. But look, as a black guy, I don't want to have nothing to do with the olden days. You know, the olden days wasn't so good for people like me.
Yeah, thank you. You could just send your slave with a chicken to try to get free health care. Yeah.
The only thing you need to do to qualify as a speaker for these people is to be relatively attractive. And that's why they put these silly women on camera.
Yeah.
So,
Ed, you know what? I get the same, like, chill up my neck when I hear people talk about the olden days. I'm like, you mean back before I could vote?
Yeah. Great.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know why. What was so freaking good about the olden days, Chris, for God's sakes?
Not a whole lot.
I couldn't have married Ed. You see what I'm saying?
And people were stinkier back then.
What?
They didn't bathe as often as we do today.
I'm sorry. I take cabs every day here in New York, so I'm
okay.
I'm used to an assault on my olfactory senses, the likes of which I have never experienced, and this is in modern times. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello in Tucson.
Morning, Mama.
May I see your papers before you begin?
Don't blame that Nevada chick on us, man. We got enough stupidity happening here, man.
Well, exactly. Holy you have cow. The May I See Your Papers law.
But I was loving on Mr. Bill Nye, the science guy. He's Mr. Awesome Face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, you know, that's why science is too tricky for right-wingers these days, because as I was saying, most of our dangers are invisible, and if you can't see them, they don't exist to the right wing.
He did leave out one important explanation, though, because none of this geology explains Bjork's damn swan dress.
That is true.
Exactly. That's true.
It's true.
You would think there might be some scientific explanation, but no.
But no, it's a mystery.
No.
Maybe she...
See, yeah, I think it's carbon dioxide levels that are actually the biggest danger. So that's the problem, you know.
We can only do more research and wait for the Republicans to deny it all.
Yeah, no, Sean Hannity will not believe in global warming until he actually needs to do his show in scuba gear. Like some sort of David Blaine special.
We have scientific evidence of that swan dress, so...
There you go.
There you go.
All right. You know, Chris, I couldn't be a bigger fan of Congressman Alan Grayson.
That's right.
And,
That's right.
And we found out he's a fan of ours, and so he came on. And then suddenly, you know how women are. We get all needy and graspy and desperate.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly I wanted him to be mine.
Yes, you did.
Like, well, Tom Hartman has Bernie Sanders on every week for Breakfast with Bernie, and said I must have him.
Let it please be him. Oh, dear God, it must be him. It must be him.
Oh, Congressman Grayson, why are you being so distant? Am I being too needy too much?
Well, let me just explain. You know, my understanding is that this is a funny show. And at my age, I can't be funny on demand anymore.
Oh, no.
It's not like you can just say, be funny, and funniness springs forth. It doesn't work that way at my age.
There's not some kind of comedy Viagra. It must come organically. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Hmm. Well, you are intrinsically funny. I do spit takes when I watch you on cable TV often. Because you're saying what everybody wants to say, but doesn't usually say in public.
I appreciated the introduction, but what I was hoping for is the word inimitable. I love
that
word.
Oh,
here he is, the inimitable.
I love that word. Yes, Alan, if you said inimitable, I would have gotten excited.
Now, I couldn't wait to talk to you because, you know, you got famous originally for your speech on the House floor, which said the Republicans' health care plan is just die. Sorry, die, which is
Very
really, yeah, don't get sick.
Don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't get sick.
Don't get sick. And if you do, right. And so now, as you've probably heard, there is a twist. This the woman running against Harry Reid in Nevada, the Republican Sue, what's her name, Loudon? Mm-hmm. She has there's a wrinkle in their plan now. Congressman, have you heard? She suggests their health care plan is offer the doctor a chicken by way of barter for your health care.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do have at least you have one step before you have to die.
What she's suggesting is that we go back to the good old days when we used to pay for things and chickens. I tried doing that at the toll booth this morning. It didn't work out well.
Those toll booths are small. There's not a lot of room for livestock.
Yeah. I thought maybe I had a blender underneath that would make it okay, but it got
stuck. But speaking of comedy, I mean, you can't write this stuff, right? I mean, you literally sometimes watch, particularly in these Republican women, you think, am I watching a Saturday Night Live sketch? I mean, you can't tell the difference between Tina Fey and Sarah Palin. And now this woman, you're like, oh, she's kidding, right? Or she misspoke. And then she doubled down on it.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, they're all nostalgic for the 19th century. I wish they should just go back there and leave us alone.
Yeah.
Exactly. To the olden days.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, their other idea. I mean, obviously, you were such an outspoken champion of health care. I mean, their only idea is repeal and replace, which, first of all, they can't even do. Even if they got majorities, the president would veto it. So they're running on something they couldn't even deliver anyway.
Well, it's not so much health care reform that they're upset about. It's health care. You know, I had so many people chant at me at these teabag rallies that they conduct from time to time. No health care. No health care. No health care. So that's what it's all about. They'll probably find a way to do that. There was a doctor in my district who said he wasn't going to treat people who voted for Obama anymore.
Yes.
And
that.
I think that that's really a big part of their plan. They're not against health care reform. They're against health care.
That really is unbelievable. This guy, and as somebody sent the letter to your office, right, about this guy, and that strikes me as being, if nothing else, against the Hippocratic Oath, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's against being a decent human being, and so much of what they do is much along the same lines. They're just, you know, sort of angry, selfish people.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, how do you feel? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of fear-mongering about the midterms, but don't you feel like as you know, provisions of the health care plan kick in, it's going to benefit Democrats ultimately, don't you think?
It is, but I mean, the bottom line is the this election will be what elections are always going to be about. When, as long as you have Democrats against Republicans, it's the election is going to be about hope versus fear. The idea that we can actually come to grips with our problems and rationally try to solve them versus hysteria from the other side about death panels and whatever new lies they might come up with, including something having to do with chickens.
Yeah, yeah. We were saying we're fairly certain now that the president has signed visitation rights for gay people in hospitals that somebody at a teabagger rally is going to say that Obama wants gay panels and you're going to be forced to be visited by a gay person in the hospital whether you want to be or not.
I think really what they don't appreciate about the health care reform bill is that we put provisions in there requiring insurance companies to provide mental health coverage, and for them that's very important, these teabaggers.
I love you. Now, Congressman, here we got, you know, we have financial reform coming up the pike next, of course. And don't you feel like some days you're having an acid flashback to health care? It's like, you know,
I'm never
going to
talk about that on the air, Stephanie. I'm sorry. I just can't go there with you.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like you're watching the same play, just the obstructionism and the you know, I mean, oh, no, we got to go back to the table and start over again. But I think we've learned our lesson on health care, haven't we?
I don't think we learned the lesson. I mean, we're still struggling, some of us anyway, are still struggling with this idea that if we could just get one or two Republicans to vote with us, everything's going to look really bipartisan.
Right.
And that's
right.
Silly. You know, the people gave us the power to improve their lives, and that's what we need to do. We can't go into this election with people thinking that the choice between the two parties is choosing between the crazy party and the lazy party.
Right.
We have to make sure that people understand that when they give us the kind of power that they gave to improve their lives, that we actually do something about that. And that includes financial reform as well as health care and the jobs and everything else.
Right. But my point is it doesn't seem like the administration is handling financial reform the same way. And it does seem to me like we're going to get something significant done because it's just too difficult for them to run this play and be on the side of the big banks like they were the insurance companies, isn't it?
I think that's true from the Republicans' perspective. I don't think that the administration is doing anything fundamentally different. They're still trying to court the Republicans. The difference is that the Republicans have their polling that shows that they, if they are revealed to be the suck-ups to Wall Street that they actually are, then it's going to hurt them in the polls. So they might treat this a little differently, but I still think that they'll come up with, they're already coming up with their fake arguments. They're saying that this is an infinite bailout bill when it's not. And they're trying to manipulate the situation to justify voting against it the way that they often rationalize voting against every conceivable thing that comes up to vote on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the one thing that gave me hope, I was reading Senate Democrats have written their budget resolution so they can pass jobs legislation using reconciliation. And I think it was Ben Cardin, a number of other Democrats said the fast track process could be used to move tax cuts, energy legislation and more later this year. I agree with you. I mean, I just think the lesson of health care is you're right. We spent a year watering down and trying to suck up and didn't get one Republican vote. And we can't do that on everything that's important to the American people, can we?
No, and the way that they're actually using that to their advantage is that they're using the filibuster rule in a way that's never been used before. They've filibustered more in the first year of this Congress than any other two-year Congress in history.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're manipulating the rules in order to keep democracy from acting like a democracy. And we have this power under the rules. The same rules that create the filibuster rule also create the reconciliation rule. And we have this power under the rule to try to get the people's work done through majority rule. And I don't think we should hesitate to do that. And the people elect us for a reason. The reason is they expect us to deal with their problems and solve them. And the
if we had more Alan Graysons, we wouldn't need to worry about the midterms, in my opinion. That's what I kept saying is that, you know, when you look at even the numbers on health care, a lot of the disapproval is people that wanted it to be more liberal than it was.
Well,
you know,
there actually are more Alan Graysons, so I have an evil twin brother.
Gee, and to the Republicans, you're evil enough, just one of you.
You should see him. Oh, boy, you should see him.
that's the thing I love most about you is just how insane you drive the right wing.
Yeah.
Because you just say it like it is, and you say it with humor, and they just can't abide it. It's hilarious. So, you know, one last thing before we go is the, you know, Supreme Court nomination. You know, again, here we go. And no matter who the president selects, the right wing is going to find a way to oppose them. So, you know, when we're replacing a liberal justice on a court that has swung so far to the right to come up with decisions like Citizens United, I mean, I like the sounds I'm hearing, don't you, that it sounds like he really is going to, you know, stick to his guns on this.
Well, we'll see. I mean, certainly in the case of Citizens United, we're rolling the dice on our entire future. So It's extremely important that he comes up and uses the authority he has to put back this Republican coup instituted by the Supreme Court to allow unlimited interference in elections by, you know, huge private interests that want bailouts, tax cuts, and government contracts. You know, if we have a situation where Exxon can spend any amount of money that it wants on political campaigns, we're pretty soon going to see that all the people who are against Exxon in Congress are out and all the people who are for Exxon are in. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. The example that I give is that the total amount spent on all federal elections in 2008, including the presidential election, all the Senate elections, all the House of Representatives elections, was $4 billion. That equals 1 month's worth of profit for Exxon that year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be swamped with special interest money, and it's going to pulverize people with a conscience who try to remain in this job. And we'll be seeing anonymous negative ads run against the tune of millions and millions of dollars in the last minute in every election. So we have to do something about that. But with regard to who the president should appoint, I think he should deliver to his constituencies the way the Republicans always deliver to theirs. You know, When the Republicans are in charge, we get tax cuts for the rich and endless war. Because the two
Exactly. We've got to motivate our...
All our people want is just a fair shake. You know, not tax cuts to the rich nor endless war.
Yep. So Congressman Grayson, before you go, what WTF in your state with the senatorial race with Marco Rubio and Governor Cruz? It's like crazy time down in Florida. What's going to happen, do you think?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing is that within the Republican leadership in Florida, rational, honest people are no longer welcome.
Right.
You know, the candidate that had a bottomless credit card, courtesy of the Republican Party of Florida, I'm talking about Rubio.
Yes.
And allegedly, I have to say that word allegedly, you know, allegedly used his Republican Party credit card to do, among other things, pay for back waxing.
Yes.
Which he vehemently denies. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you deny that?
Yes.
How embarrassing is that?
Listen, and I was hairy. Right? I had a unibrow as a child. So listen, if only I could get free back waxing.
To show you how corrupt and awful things have become in the Republican Party of Florida, this is the person who is beating, in the polls at least, an incumbent governor.
Yep.
Who's running for the Senate. I mean, it's gotten that strange. When recently the head of the Republican Party of Florida resigned in disgrace. I'm not making this up. There's actually a picture of this, and you're going to have to take my word for it because, after all, you have a radio show, not a TV show.
Yes.
So you're going to have to take my word for this. But there was actually a shredded truck that rolled up to Republican Party of Florida headquarters in Tallahassee. On the same day that the Republican Party chair resigned in disgrace because they had $4 million of unaccounted for expenses.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And people inquired, why is there a shred-up truck the same day that he's resigning? And the answer was, oh, they always come around.
Well, you know, Congressman, we're so sorry we got to let you go. We're out of time. But, man, I'm telling you, I think this, you know, the influence of the teabaggers have really been overblown, if I could use a term. And, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh, my God, the Democrat could actually win in Florida because of, you know, Charlie Crist got teabagged. So now he's going to get out and Marco Rubio may be out because of these allegations. And it's just it gets hilariouser and hilariouser, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Let
me tell you something before I go.
Yes.
All that nice stuff you said at the beginning about me, right back at you.
Aww. Oh, Congressman Alan Grayson. All right, next time we're going to you are man enough to take calls from our listeners, so we will do that on our weekly segment next week, all right?
All right.
All right, but until then I will think of you and miss you and count the seconds. I've started already.
Oh, wow. That's a nice thing to hear.
Congressman Alan Grayson of the great state of Florida. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
There he goes. My very own personal Congress critter. All right. And help us name this feature, for God's sakes. We can't. What did you say? I said Gavin with Grayson.
No,
you said what?
Someone wrote in and said the gaggle with Grayson. Mm. You know, like a weekly press gaggle?
Computer says no.
No.
No?
All right, 50 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 55 minutes after the hour. And Jim Ward is here 5 minutes early?
Holy
what?
Crap.
Do I? How much is that going to cost me? I got to computate this. Jim, what about that Geico guy, voiceover guy that lost his job?
Yeah.
Because he left an anti-teabagger message.
And left his phone number. That
well,
wasn't
yeah,
smart.
He was stupid.
Were you trying to get that job immediately?
Well, what I thought, well, someone sent me, people kept sending me emails. They're replacing the gecko. And, so
and
I,
it turns out it wasn't no, the voice of the gecko. I
can't imagine Jim hasn't been fired from a million voiceover jobs for something he said on this show.
Probably. I probably have.
I mean,
oh,
dear God.
That guy? Oh.
I bet you that Geico guy said, what, have you heard Jim Ward any day? What? I got.
That's true. I probably have lost work because of what I do. Well, actually, there's one job where they were looking for a Dick Cheney
yes.
sound like. And, of course, I ended my audition with, why don't you go bleep yourself?
Oh, oh.
And, but the woman who was casting it, I never met her. I just heard through the grapevine. Right. Why would he say something like that? I don't know why he would say that. Okay, first of all, you're casting for a national figure, and you have no idea the things that he says. How are you going to decide who's the best Dick Cheney if you
like,
don't
hey,
know that?
Cupcake,
you've never heard him talk.
Pick up a newspaper, yeah. Forgotten.
You've never heard of him for, you know, saying that to Patrick Leahy. On the
yeah,
center floor.
Exactly. Jim, you've probably gotten more jobs than lost them. You are revered as the voice deity that you
that's
are
me.
Here, for God's sake.
That's
sakes.
True. That's true. That's true.
All right. Rob in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Stephanie. The name of the show for Congressman Grayson should be Gut Check with Grayson.
Ah.
Oh, that's right.
He's the only congressman we seem to have that calls out Republicans as well as Democrats. Gut check is a term from the old football
yep.
days.
Yep.
When you start doubting yourself, you check your gut, and we all need to do that. And Congressman Grayson, he needs to be way higher up on the food chain.
There you go. All right, I like that. Chris, put that in my box.
Gut check with Grayson.
Suggestion box.
I ain't putting anything in your box.
Put it in there.
Somebody has to.
Tell me I'm pretty.
Yeah, somebody has to.
Mercy in Los Angeles with another suggestion for our weekly Alan Grayson segment. Yes, Mercy.
Right, it's Marcy. I want it
Marcy.
To be gray matter because we think, and because we think in shades of gray and nuance.
Ah, gray matter. Very
gray
smart.
Matter.
I like
that. All
it.
Right,
gray
jam
matters.
That in my box, too. Gray matter
gray
with
matters.
Grayson.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's even better.
Yeah, I like that. Johnny in Kansas City, Missouri.
Good morning, Goddess. We need to go with getting after it with Grayson. And you might put the gecko on there working with him, too.
Getting after it with the Grayson
really
and the gecko.
I'm not really an American citizen. I don't know if I can do that.
I think that's too much of an Ed Schultz thing. He always says get after it. That's a,
get after it. Exactly. Get her done. No?
No, that's different. Oh. Dan in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Okay, I want to keep the gur thing going, so I'm going to grousing with Grayson.
Grousing with Grayson. All right. Boy, my box is overflowing. Whew. 58 minutes after the hour, back with some chicken stories and much more. Who's coming next?
Reverend Jim Wallace
next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I want you to feel good. Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour of the big show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. That's the promo code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeMoy, voice of Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Edge show tomorrow night on MSNBC. Our next guest said something so cute to Rebecca.
Yeah.
The Reverend Jim Walls, who you know is the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
She thanked him for coming back on, and he said, well, I have to. I'm the official preacher, and it's my job to make sure Stephanie gets to heaven.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a long segment. Everybody just
just
may
back.
Take a while. Reverend Jim Wallace, good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I'm always so thrilled to have you on, and so so much to talk about. You, of course, are the author of Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. And, you know, I just knew it. When I heard about this horrible, mean-spirited immigration law in Arizona, I thought Reverend Wallace is going to say something about this. And sure enough, there you were in Arizona. And tell us, I mean, basically your posting today was perfect. Arizona's immigration bill is a social and racial sin.
Well, I got up Tuesday morning at 4 o'clock a.m. to fly to Phoenix. Because this law could take this country in a whole new direction, an ugly direction. So I met this woman before the press conference at the Center for Undocumented People. And, yeah, she came across the border illegally when she was an infant with her farm worker parents 47 years ago. And now she lives here, and she was volunteering helping other undocumented people, a real criminal in our midst. And so this law now is going to require all the enforcement agents in Arizona, all the cops, to focus on finding, tracking down, hunting down undocumented people. And it says if they have a reasonable suspicion that somebody might be undocumented. I wonder what that would mean. I wonder if they're going to pick all the people like me with white skin and see if we're undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're with undocumented people and you're stopped, you could be arrested. Now, there's a lot of mixed families out there. So if you're with your kids.
Chilling. It's a police state. I mean, it really, you talk about how mean-spirited it is in your posting today. You say, but it will be ineffective and only serve to further divide communities in Arizona, making everyone more fearful and less safe. I mean, the police organizations are against it. You know, this should not be.
They're going to have to focus on these harmless people instead of violent criminals. So, and here's the catch for the churches: it's now illegal. It will be illegal to harbor or transport undocumented people. Now, I was at a clinic, and the nurse practitioner. You could say she was harboring uninsured people that she's treating or driving people to church could be illegal. So I looked at the governor's tower when I spoke in front of the State House and I said, Governor, if you sign this bill, churches will not comply. It's as simple as that. Now, Stephanie, of course, we want to be a nation of laws. We do. The system is broken.
Well,
this
Reverend,
has gone
I mean,
for a long time, but my goodness.
But here's what I was going to say. I mean, here's what I love about you is you really throw people off by quoting the words of Jesus to these Christians. You're standing there yesterday. You write at the rally, I started with the words of Jesus, who instructed his disciples to welcome the stranger and then said, whatever we do to the least of these who are members of my family, we do to him.
Right.
So you point out, so to obey Jesus and his gospel would mean not to comply with this law.
And that's why the churches won't do that. When the raids began last week already, and folks were afraid to leave their homes, I mean to stay in their homes, afraid to go to work. And where'd they go? To church, to be safe. And I don't think law enforcement wants to invade churches in Arizona. So the problem here is the system is broken. I mean, it really is broken, and no one's being served by this. But this has gone on for a long time. 12 million people are here. So enforcement without reform is cruel. Enforcement without compassion is really immoral. Enforcement that breaks up families is something we can't accept. And enforcement that makes us disobey, as you say, the teachings of Jesus is something we can't do. So the governor, Janet Brewer, needs to not sign this thing. And if she does, it's going to be resisted. And it says to Barack Obama and to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, immigration reform has to happen this year, has to happen now, and can't wait any longer.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, Reverend, is this is just gets more and more ridiculous. Have you seen the latest word is not only this law, but now they're also trying to pass a law demanding that Barack Obama produce his birth certificate if he wants to be on the ballot in Arizona in 2012. I mean, it really, you know, it's just gotten to be crazy time. But let me, you know, while I've got you, let me talk to you about, you know, sort of the, because there's obviously a larger thing happening, in, you know, in the country in terms of this kind of fear-mongering, dividing, hate speech. I don't mean to bring up an episode of Celebrity Preacher Deathmatch, but I don't know if you've seen in the news today the Army is considering whether to rescind an invitation to Franklin Graham to appear at the Pentagon amid complaints about his description of Islam as evil. Just take a listen. This was Franklin Graham on CNN yesterday.
True Islam cannot be practiced in this country. You can't beat your wife. You cannot murder your children if you think they've committed adultery or something like that, which they do practice in these other countries.
I mean, I just... this is coming from a supposed man of God who, you know, I suppose after 9/11 said the same thing, that it's a very evil, wicked religion.
Well, let me just say, Billy Graham is a friend of mine, and Billy Graham just never talked that way. He just never did. And so it's sad to see his son. First of all, he doesn't know much about Islam if he says these things. Fundamentalism in all of our religions is bad. There's Christian fundamentalism, Jewish fundamentalism, and Islamic fundamentalism. Fundamentalism is extreme, but fundamentalism is not religion. You know, religion can be fundamentalist. It can also be compassionate. It can also be merciful. It can also be prophetic. And he's just wrong about the facts here, which is sad. But also,
well, right, anybody that perverts their religion, you know, for violence or anything else is wrong. But it's like to condemn a whole religion.
Exactly. That happens across the board. I know Christian fundamentalism well. I've fought it most of my life, and there is indeed Islamic fundamentalism. But I know too many imams and Muslim women who are dynamic and powerful, and they're friends of mine, and some of them are trying to bring people together for interfaith service and collaboration, not for jihad.
Congressman, I've got to get your Reverend. Sorry, I've been talking to so many Congress people this morning. Reverend Wallace, got to get your take on another story in the news today. Tea Party favorite Senator Jim DeMint said he sees a spiritual motivation behind Tea Party movement. He said the bigger government gets, the smaller God gets. And there will be a parallel spiritual revival with the, you know, and I'm just saying, if you've heard some of the racist, horrible, borderline violent rhetoric coming out of some of these tea parties, I mean, it's amazing what people claim as in the name of God or spiritual, right?
Well, we just released, this is relevant to both these stories, a civility covenant. It's on the sojo.net website. 126 church leaders have signed this, including me and Chuck Colson, across the political spectrum, and said we've got to stop talking like this. Congress people call me all the time now and say it's never been so bad up here. It's the rhetoric, the vitriol. Let's have legitimate disagreements about the size of government or the role of government. Let's have a robust conversation. Well, that's what democracy is. That's fine. But to question people's character, which is happening now, their patriotism, their identity, say God is on the side of one point of view, this has really gone way too far. When members who voted for health care have gotten death threats, they've called me, they've told me what people have said to them over the phone. I've got kids too. When they say, you know, I know where your kids go to school and we're going to kill your kids. I mean, this is not just honest, robust debate. This is something horrible and ugly. So we all have to take a breath and argue our positions, but with respect, with a civil tone and a moral tone. I would commend that civility covenant to any member of Congress or any of your listeners who want to hear what the faith community ought to be saying about things like this.
Well, I mean, Reverend, it seems like, you know, you keep trying to set an example, as you say. I mean, after the health care debate, we had people screaming racist, homophobic things, spitting, death threats. You know, we've got, you know, elected representatives talking about people being armed and dangerous and, you know, we need to reload. And you know, and yet you're out there, you're trying to, like, recently you tried to call Glenn Beck out for a respectful debate, and it just seems like, what do you do? I mean, how do we as a nation become more civil to each other when the other side doesn't seem to engage the same way you're trying to engage?
Well, I think we have to lead by example. I think we have to take the high ground. I said to Glenn Beck that, you know, what Jesus says is that social justice is at the core of the gospel, heart of the gospel. He said it was a perversion of the gospel and Marxist. But I said, Glenn, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Then he threatened me and had me on his show. I'm on his blackboard now. But you know, but Jesus also tells us, he really does tell us to love our enemies. That's tough for all of us because we all know what it means to have enemies. But he says, pray for those who persecute you. So I said to our people, don't attack Glenn Beck personally. Disagree with him, challenge the facts, but we gotta stop attacking people personally. Now, too many people do it on all sides, that's true, but I think we have to start, again, take a breath, and let's talk about arguing in a different way, and let's really talk about protecting those who are most vulnerable. That's where we started here today, and I was with those families in New Mexico, and they are terrified, and we have to say, okay, let's fix broken laws, let's be a nation of laws, but let's not terrorize vulnerable people and get political points out of this.
That's
this
right.
is just wrong.
Reverend Wallace, as the as an ex-Catholic girl talking to the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, I am already feeling guilty, so it's working on me because I engage in the name-calling from time to time when someone really goes too far. So we will all try to do a better job. How's that?
Well, Stephanie, you argue so effectively, intelligently, you don't even have to do that. Just stick to facts and be your articulate
I know.
Self and persuasive self.
Sometimes
and you'll win hearts and minds.
Sometimes I just do it for fun. Reverend Jim Wallace, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, author of Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. Thank you so much, Reverend. Always such an honor.
Bless you all.
Thank you, sir. There we go. Let's see. The official blessing has been bestowed upon the Stephanie Miller Show players.
Wow.
We need it.
Even I
now,
might
back to the name calling.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Does that mean that even I, the atheist, can get into heaven?
Sure.
No.
Not yet. The
place
you don't
mean
believe
you,
in. The place I don't believe in, exactly.
Yes. All right. 18 minutes
I'm
after
not here.
The hour.
I am not here. This is not happening. No. I don't want to harp.
18 minutes after the hour. Now back to making fun of Tom Brocco's L problem. As Jim Ward fulfills a special request as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. All right, some good ones coming in for our weekly segment with Congressman Alan Grayson.
Yes.
State of Grayson. Very
yes.
good.
That's good. These are from Ken in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Grayson's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Mm-hmm.
Grayson a go-go.
Not that bad. Conjures up pictures of him in a cage dancing in a bikini.
I don't, we have to have a little
and
bit
Michael
of
Steele throwing dollar bills at him.
Wait a minute, this might be one. Wayne in West Hollywood.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey guys.
Yes, go ahead. What's your suggestion?
Yeah, well, in keeping of the true theme of the show, which is fart jokes.
Yes.
And chatting, it's Gassin' with Grayson.
Ooh.
I like it.
How about
I like it? Anything that can Gassin' with Grayson.
How about youthful ward Dick Grayson?
Youthful ward Dick Grayson.
Oh, I'm writing Gassin down. All right. Meanwhile, breaking news. You know, happy Earth Day, everybody. A second larger volcano appears ready to erupt in Iceland. Yikes.
Yes.
Scientists fear tremors at the Eyjafjallajökull volcano could trigger an even more dangerous eruption at the nearby Katla volcano. The eruption would be 10 times stronger and shoot higher. Ooh, it's like the first one on Viagra.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Chuck in Portland, meanwhile, writes, good morning, Steph. I would love to hear Kim Jong-il and Tom Brokaw talk about the Icelandic volcano called...
Yeah, that one.
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly at NBC Nightline News, on special assignment with North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. K to the J to the I L. In the Heze, we know. Tonight, we'll discuss the potential disastrous impact of the Icelandic volcano... Eyjafjallajökull.
A what?
Eyjafjallajökull, which is now experiencing Strombolian explosions. Strombolian explosion. Please, let's not go there. In the Icelandic capital of Reykjavik, don't you mean Riddhammer? No, not Lillehammer. That's Norway, one-time home of the Winter Olympics.
You know, the place with the fjords. I used to drive a Fjord Pinto. It exploded just like a volcano. But I'll cut that out. This is serious. Millions of Icelanders could be killed by a pyroclastic cloud. A pyroclastic cloud.
Oh, no.
No, say it correctly. A pyroclastic cloud. A pyroclastic... Oh, forget it. This is Tom Brokaw. Good night and good luck. Hasta la vista. Keep out.
There you go, Chuck. Are you amateur enough now? You know, if only that former teacher Mary Kay and her lover could have visited...
What was his name again?
Billy Falau.
Billy Falau.
And his lover.
Lola
Falana.
Mary Kay Lola.
Mary Kay Lola Turner.
Visited the ice of Lola.
I wonder if they're still together.
The volcano of... Oh,
okay.
In Lillehammer?
See, I play with the voice bot so long until I break it.
Yeah.
All right, stop it now. Stop playing with the voice bot.
Liquid hot lava.
All right. Let's go to, Marion Washington on our Grayson segment. Hello, Mary.
Yeah, this is, you know, Hartman has brunch with Bernie. You should have morning,
breakfast with Bernie. What's
mornings,
that?
Mornings with Grayson, Miller, and Company.
Hmm. No, it is brunch with Bernie.
All right. Thank you. Mm. Okay. All right. Let's go to Cindy in Seattle.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hello.
Two things. First of all, Billy Flop. Mary Kay Letourneau are still together.
Are they really? Wow.
Yes.
About a year and a half ago, unbelievably, Mary Kay Letourneau went to a Hot for Teacher night, kind of a dance theme at a club downtown, and showed up and everything.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It's disgusting. But, Steph, girl to girl, I have to tell you something.
Yes.
Quit cheating on Hal with Alan Grayson.
Do you know how much Hal cheats on me, for God's sakes? All right, I'm cheating with Alan Grayson, whatever.
Well, you kind of are.
Let's go to Christopher in Humboldt, California. Hello, Chris.
Hello. The Brazen-Grayson segment.
Hmm. Brazen-Grayson. Yeah, it's a little... I can't... Because I'm drunk most mornings, as you know. I can't say that.
You can barely say Billy Falau.
Billy Falau.
Turno at the Icelandic volcano. Falau. John in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. My suggestion for the title for the Alan Grayson segment is Palin with Alan.
I kind of like that.
I like that, but you're not supposed to call the mother for his name, are you?
You can.
He is a Congress critter. There has to be some dignity.
Brunch with Bernie.
Yeah, see?
That's his first name.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Palin with Alan. Oh, we will take it all under advisement. My box overflows. Thank you so much.
What?
29 minutes after the hour. Oh, we have some chicken stories in terms of on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just drink my wine?
Stephanie Miller.
Brawley, I'm getting drunk off my ass.
Very nice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I barely got back in time. You know why?
Why?
I'm the hostess with the mostest here at the New York Bureau. I've been handing out Sherry's Berries.
Beg your pardon?
Which are delicious. They're like the size of bowling balls. They're chocolate-covered strawberries.
Yes, they are. They're really good.
Mm. I would wait till next week and then go to berries.com and type in Stephanie. And you can get a special deal. But, oh, they are delicious. Everybody's in a sugar coma now here at the New York office.
And your favorite are the coconut, if I'm not mistaken.
Me too. Yes.
I said your favorite. Yes.
Yes, I have it sitting right here. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Julie in Seattle on the Nevada Republican woman that says you should try to barter for your health care by giving your doctor a chicken.
Yes, this is the last lady to emerge from the group of hot Republican chicks with no sense to run for the Senate.
Yes, hotrepublicanchipswithnoclue.com.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And when I saw her tell their little story last night, it put a kink in my brain, and thank God I have the Stephanie Miller Show to come to work it out. out. When we were kids, my brother and I, when we were little tots back in the 60s, my Republican brother, we were Air Force brats, and we got drugged through every museum on three continents. And we would often ask my mother, did you ride those wagon trains back in the olden days, Mother? She, for about the first 4 years of questions like that, like, did you grind corn on those stones in the olden days, Mother? She was patient with us until I was about 10, and then once she just turned on us like a vicious dog, and I did not live in the goddamn olden days. And that was the end of asking that question. But I haven't heard anyone use that expression until I saw that dingbat talking about Holland
I mean, Jilly, do you seriously not know when you're watching a Saturday Night Live sketch? You're like, really? This is the latest Republican woman for real?
How do you even mock that? It's just
I know. That's the thing, Jim. I'm going, literally, like, you don't know if you're watching Tina Fey or Sarah Palin. And then this woman, I thought, no, she's kidding, right? Or she made most misspoke and whatever. But no.
Would-be Senator Sue Lyden is now becoming famous coast to coast for her unique proposals for how Americans should deal with the expense of health care.
Let's change the system and talk about what the possibilities are. You know, before we all started having health care in the olden days, our grandparents, they would bring a chicken to the doctor.
Oh, I love chickens.
Are they extra crispy original recipe?
Oh, that's ridiculous. My foot feels so good, I brought you this pig. This pig's all I've got to give.
They would bring a chicken to the doctor. They would say, I'll paint your house. They would do, I mean, that's the old days of what people would do to get health care.
Well, I guess she's done a favor to the voters of Nevada who now know her health care plan, which is poultry for physicians.
That's another character for Kristen Wiig to play.
Right? That's it. Amy Poehler.
She's not on the show anymore.
Amy Poehler's not on the show.
She hasn't been on the show for a long time.
Yeah.
You haven't watched it since Dan Aykroyd was on.
No, exactly. Once Gilda Radner left, what was the point?
Somebody sent me a link to this site. This is Chickens for Checkups.
Yep.
Need a doctor? Just ask Sue. Dear Sue, I recently heard about your bright idea that people should barter goods and services for health care, so I was hoping you can help me find a physician. I'm looking for a doctor for rickets. Instead of money, I'm willing to offer a doctor my 10 chickens. Anyway, so you can, you know, insert.
Yeah. Anyhow. Insert.
However, you have to leave your email and zip code. So
rumor has it that's a website run by Harry Reid.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm. Well, the other one, the painting the house, I'm thinking I would be just as bad at painting someone's house as I would be trying to do my own surgery. So I don't know if that would be a good deal for the doctor. Sure, I'll paint your house.
Yeah, I'll have Tom Sawyer do it.
Yeah, I'll get Huck Finn. And right. Dee Dee in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love your show. You start my day with a smile every day.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a point that back in the days when we bartered for medical care, we were also being treated by leeching and bloodletting.
Yes. So you were trading livestock for livestock in a way. Yes.
Right.
Although they do still use leeches.
Insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you're trying to reattach an ear, and the little tiny capillaries don't heal fast enough.
Leeches secrete something that's really good for clotting blood.
Yes.
So,
for...
Please, I just ate a Shuri's berry. Jay in Tucson on chickens. Hello, Jay.
Hi there. And happy Earth Day. It was good to hear Bill Nye. That was
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
You know, a little fun fact here, a little chicken fun fact. In Texas, there's the chicken ranch.
Yes.
Which was the
now we're talking.
I don't think he meant those kind of chickens.
Well, you know, in the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas,
right.
This actually existed. And during the Depression, when folded money was hard to come by there in Central Texas, a chicken could be exchanged for services.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
Fun fact. Well, Jim, I was asking, you know, in modern times, how... does it have to be a live chicken? Could it be Purdue? Can it be Colonel Sanders? She didn't really say.
Well, I would think that the doctor would prefer a live chicken because, you know, he could cook it if he so chooses, or he could breed it.
Or have eggs.
Or get eggs from it.
Okay.
What was that?
All right, let's do one last shotgun round to name our new weekly feature with Congressman Alan Grayson. Nora in Minneapolis, go!
Hey there, Stephanie!
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I first thought of a title, Wake Up with Grayson. But then I thought of a huge improvement for the title.
Uh-huh.
Wake Up with Grayson, no matter who you went to bed with.
All right. Thank you. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Wow. George in Chicago, go.
Beautiful one. Before I get to my suggestion, does the Chicken Lady of Utah, when she sends out her fundraising letters, does she say, we'll take chickens instead of cash?
That'd be funny. Yeah, just send her rubber chickens.
Yeah.
My suggestion is face-to-face with Alan Grayson, because he is so in your face that he's unafraid to go nose-to-nose and face-to-face with anybody. Right. And secondly,
in your face with Grayson. All right. All right. John in Indianapolis, go.
How about Gaga for Grayson?
I am Gaga for Grayson.
Lady Gaga for Grayson? Lady Gaga for Grayson?
And we use the Lady Gaga theme. And now, Patrick in San Francisco.
Somewhere between black and white, here's the truth with Alan Grayson.
All right. Sharon in Oakland. Sharon in Oakland, go ahead. Wait a minute. Here we go. Go ahead, Sharon.
Grow some with Grayson.
That's good.
Grow a pair with Grayson.
Grow some. No, that doesn't
grow
work.
Some. All right, let me write that down. No. Hang on. All right, I have finalists. What about you, Chris?
My favorite is Grayson's Anatomy.
All right, Jim, hang on. Let's review, shall we? We have Gut Check with Alan Grayson, State of Grayson, Grayson's Anatomy, Grayson a Go-Go, Gassum with Grayson, or Grow Some with Grayson.
I'm leaning towards Grow Some with Grayson.
You gotta have some decorum.
I don't think you can have ball humor when you have a congressman on, but maybe. But he's an unusual congressman. He's especially funny and outspoken. So, all right, Jennifer and Sam.
He would also like to get reelected.
I enjoy that ball segment you do with Stephanie Miller, congressman. Yes, Jennifer.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
I think you guys are being unfair to that crazy lady from Nevada. You're putting her ideas in a box, and that's not really fair, because I believe what she's standing for is, if you're able to, for example, knit an oven mitt, that too would be good enough for payment for your doctor. So I just focusing on.
Oops.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
All right.
It's a conspiracy.
Right. No. Exactly. Let's go to Kim in St. Paul. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kim.
Hey, I'm requesting permission to name call following Reverend Wallace.
Yeah, go ahead. There's been enough time now. He's not listening anymore.
Excellent. Well, so who do these jackholes in Arizona think they are anyway? I mean, because where are our federal legislators and people who know federal law on this? Because, you know, as the official immigration lawyer of the Stephanie Miller Show, I have a couple of immigration fun facts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And those include things like, in the federal immigration law, we have protections for people who are victims of crimes. If you're undocumented, you can actually get a green card and permission to stay in the U.S. If you're a victim of domestic violence, if you're a victim of various forms of crime where you're helpful to the police and reporting. And we do this because it's a public safety issue, people. It protects the entire community. Why are these concepts so hard for people to get through their heads?
Yep. I mean, that's the thing. I'm going, if this doesn't totally define racial profiling, I don't know what does, right?
Right, absolutely. And there are also public health implications, too, but I won't bore you with that right now, Steph.
All right. Well, thank you.
Like you might be an immigrant.
They seriously can stop you on the street if you even look, if they think you look like an immigrant.
Zeke Heil, y'all.
You know, I'm pretty harsh on immigration, but this has stepped way, way over the line.
Just a few days after Arizona lawmakers passed an immigration law that would essentially require anyone who is or looks like an immigrant to carry their proof of residency at all
times. Where are your papers? You must have papers!
Yeah, you know what? Actually, we need the Nazi march for this. Can I have the cartoon Nazi march? Thank you. The Arizona House has now, Jim, voted for a provision that would require President Obama to show his birth certificate if he wants to get on the state's ballot for the election. So they don't need to see his papers along with any of the brown ones. By the way, so Representative Frank Antonori, Republican of Arizona.
That's a good American name.
Yes, he just appeared on MSNBC to justify voting for this odious law.
He sounds like an immigrant with a name like that.
Yeah, exactly. Tamron Hall pointed out there are police officers who are unhappy with the bill. They engaged in a heated exchange as he incessantly challenged her remark. She is, in fact, correct. The Arizona Association of Chiefs of Police recently released a statement reaffirming the group's opposition to the bill. Yep. Here are some fun facts. Immigrants 5 times less likely to be behind bars than native-born citizens. A 2007 study by the University of California found that for every ethnic group, incarceration rates among young men were lowest for immigrants. So, you know, I mean, that's, first of all, the police don't want to be doing this. You're literally turning it into a police state. Yeah.
You got real criminals to catch.
Yeah.
It's a big waste of time and resources, for one thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Hell, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Good morning and welcome to Gaga for Grayson. I'm just trying them all out.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It really is the the radio version of Huck Finn. We're too lazy to come up with stuff. We're just like, well, what should we call this segment? Help us.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. Woody in Michigan.
Hi, Woody in Michigan. Russ wants to say Amazing Grayson.
Oh,
Amazing Grayson. I like that.
Yeah.
Writing that down. Hang on. Amazing Grayson. We also. I think we have this one already. Hang on. Let me check my list. Barbara in Scranton.
Hi.
Yes,
State
go
of
ahead.
Grayson?
What's that?
How about State of Grayson?
Ah, yes. Yep. Okay, we have that. Yes, I like that one. All right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of our listeners doing all the work,
yep.
All right. I know. Once you start playing with the VoicePot 2000, it's hard to put him down. Tommy in Columbus would like to hear what now?
Well, the headline is Iceland volcano eruption update. Fear on Katla volcano eruption continues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is Tom Broga, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Iceland's lesbian leader, Johanna Sigurðardóttir, last night went to look at the Eyjafjallajökull volcano, which
was illuminated
by the northern lights of the aurora borealis, along with lightning. Although a volcanologist talked about the likelihood of a larger volcano, Katla, exploding with a liquid molten lava, it's almost as if Lucifer himself were letting loose with appalling explosive flatulence.
Do you have any word on whether there was ever a volcanic eruption in Slobodan Milosevic's...
Slobodan Milosevic. In Yugoslavia. Never had to deal with explosive volcanic flatulence.
Okay. All right. Put the voice bot down. You're going to break it. Let's dive into the right-wing world.
He's already been broken. It's already been broken.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wow. You know, this seems kind of anti-American to me,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Sure does.
This seems almost like rooting for the failure of America and American businesses.
If I buy a GM or Chevy now, is that the same as making a campaign contribution to Barack Obama? The money is directly going to the unions who only support Democrats.
I have to say that you're right. I have to say that buying a General Motor Chrysler car is a campaign donation in kind.
Is that someone on Limbaugh's staff? Did they...
what a good idea that was.
That's a great idea.
Let's
put American workers out of work.
Yes. That seems like the most pro-American thing I could think of doing.
God.
Wow. Okay.
These people can't be serious.
Well, they are.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh, again.
I find it simply fascinating that nobody ever questions the competence. Or it's not that nobody does. It's if you do, then you are engaging in sedition. Sedition? It's like I said yesterday and Monday. There's a big difference between people on our side and the people on the regime side.
The regime side.
I guess that means that we're on the regime
people
team.
Who believe in the elected president of the United States.
Yeah.
Unlike George Bush, who was selected by the right-wing of the Supreme Court.
Or are they arguing with themselves now on the right? Who has accused anyone of sedition on the left? They're having these straw man arguments.
No, they've talked about sedition when people are talking about overthrowing the government of the United States or, you know, seceding from the Union.
Well, that is actually the definition of sedition, yes.
So, not if you, it's not, saying something, is, you can say whatever you want. Until the Bush administration came along, but when we still have, you know, the Bill of Rights. Yeah. But if you're actually advocating the overthrow, the violent overthrow of the United States government, that would be sedition.
All right. Yes, except he said if you just question the competence of the Obama regime, we're saying it's sedition, which no one is saying that. We're talking about when you're actually encouraging violence to overthrow. Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's skip over Franklin Graham since we already played that for, and go to Alex Castellanos.
This administration passed a health care bill by vilifying the insurance industries. They got a villains help us strategy. And so all of a sudden they're using Goldman Sachs to get their financial reform package through. At the same time that the SEC announces these charges, the New York Times just happens to come with a front page article with the whole backstory setting the agenda. That's a political decision when someone leaked that.
By vilifying, he means describing what they do.
Yes. Yeah.
They make their money by denying people coverage who will die without it.
Yeah. Poor Goldman Sachs. Mm.
I'm talking about healthcare people, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
Poor healthcare companies.
All right. Wow. Fred Barnes is going to be in the dirt hole in the back of Fox News.
Yeah. He said something that made sense.
I think Arizona should not act out of frustration. Look, as a general rule, when politicians do, they go farther than they should, and that's the problem with this bill. It goes way too far. It does allow a police officer to stop and not frisk, but demand things from anybody who thinks might be an illegal immigrant.
Fred Barnes has decided to spend more time with his family, and will not be.
Dr. Lecter, I can hear Fred Barnes screaming. I hear him screaming. Okay. I'm guessing that it is now currently putting lotion on its arms, or it gets the hose again. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's keeping Precious down in the hole with with it.
Okay.
What does he do, Clarice, this Barnes you seek?
Fred Barnes, but now he's back on the reservation. Is this what he had to do, get back on the reservation?
Oh, yeah, this was the next segment.
I don't think there's any explanation for the SEC doing it other than it was a partisan decision to help out President Obama and Democrats on financial reform. And if there's another one, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, so you mean the SEC made them commit fraud
so
that then they could catch them and then make Democrats look...
The reason is they want to prevent another financial meltdown, you turd. Okay. I know he's not that dumb.
How long has Jim Wallace been gone before the name calling has begun, Jim?
Yeah, Jim, come on.
Apparently you didn't read his civil discourse something thing on his
website. Well, liberals have been far too civil. That's the problem.
O'Reilly on the Fox
News. Fox Broadcasting, you got the Family Guy, far left. You got the Simpsons, not far left, but liberal. And overwhelmingly, the comedy writers are in that ilk. But there are enough funny, conservative, traditionalist, centrist comedians that you would feel one would get a shot, but nobody.
Because they're not funny.
Did he not watch that half-hour news crap that was on his own network?
What is the traditionalist comedian that is funny? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
Well, the Führer had a great sense of humor. Not many people know that.
Andy was a vegan.
So,
who is the conservative traditionalist comedian that's funny? Anybody?
I think he might be referring to Dennis Miller.
Gotcha.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But Dennis Miller hasn't been funny since
Rick Overton stopped writing for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know who is funny? Michelle Malkin. Oh, here she is. Don't get enough of the lamestream media.
We ignore the lamestream lapdog media, and the fact is that despite all of the water carrying that has gone on for the last year and during the campaign, the word is getting out there.
I gotta cut her off, but we'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Love it, love it, love it. Love us some GoToMeeting. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. We have Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez coming up. Did a kick-ass job last night on TV on the Zeke Heil law in Arizona.
Yes.
The immigration law. Oh, by the way, there's Grampy McShane. Eh? My name was on what? Kennedy. Kennedy. Huh?
The state is acting and the governor is acting out of frustration because the federal government's responsibility is to secure the borders, and our borders are not secure.
Well, you know what? He kind of has a little bit of a point there.
Mm-hmm.
The feds aren't guarding the border as well as they should.
If he remembers the, what was it again, Chris? The Kennedy McCain.
Yes, absolutely.
Comprehensive immigration reform.
Oh, no.
That was part of comprehensive, you see, is also
absolutely
securing the border.
I totally agree with that. I'm just saying that he does have a little bit of a point in that one little soundbite.
Yeah, but he also doddered off into not making a point when he was like, there's a... The immigrants, they're on the drive-bys, they're doing drive-bys, deliberately causing accidents.
Right, that's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about this particular statement. The federal government is not guarding the borders as well as it should.
I like toast.
He likes toast. He also said that. Did you hear that? What the hell was he talking about? They're deliberately causing accidents. What?
I'm not that fond of tortillas, but I like toast.
This really is crazy time. The House sponsor of legislation that will require presidential candidates provide a copy of their original birth certificate is passing, praising a similar Arizona measure, which has even drawn the condemnation of Dana Perino, you know, the little line sack of cute George Bush's former. I mean, it's just crazy time. He has showed you his birth certificate. Oh, I almost said gift certificate, like Tom DeLay, because I am also drunk. Like,
will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, his gift certificate. His birth certificate?
I dare the president to go to Arizona and go, here it is. Here's a gift certificate from the Gap.
Gift certificate from the Gap. From Applebee's.
Can I please get on the ballot now? All right. All right. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am all right. Where do you even start today? Did you see who's the woman running against Harry Reid proposed bartering with your doctor with chickens? That's her health care plan.
Well, I kind of missed that, but I don't know how you even respond to that one. You know, it's for sure. Look, many of us were old enough. Remember when you could go to the local neighborhood doctor or something, and you know, maybe there was a little bit of sort of bartering, or you know, not being able to pay for your regular checkup, and they sort of look the other way. But that's not the way it is today.
It gave me more sympathy for you guys that had to try to seriously debate health care with the likes of Michelle Bachmann for the last year. It's just like, what are you talking about?
You know, it was a tough debate, that's for sure. And understanding the realities of what people are up against, you know, is really, really important. So, look, we did good work, and now we have work to do to get it, to make sure we implement it right, too.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and obviously on to jobs now. I saw one hopeful thing that, you know, it looks like they're considering reconciliation if they have to pass jobs. I mean, I think we've learned our lesson on health care that I'm just not sure the Republicans are going to help on anything, are they?
Well, that is a really important question, facing. There's no question, as you know, as we have different opinions, we're going to have different ideology on how we approach these problems, but American people would like to have us work in a bipartisan way, but we have seen, particularly
particularly in the House and increasingly in the Senate, we're going to say no to everything. Even if we like a good bit of it, we're just not going to cooperate. We just don't want the Democrats to have any successes. And there are just some serious problems and challenges facing the American economy and American families and businesses, and we do want to take some action. So being able to give us the ability, if we need to be able to have just Democratic votes, well, no, it's not a bad idea to at least have that in our pocket if we need to.
Because, Congresswoman, we're hearing the same thing we heard on health care, like, oh, let's go back, let's start over, let's go back to the table on financial reform. I mean, listen to the president yesterday.
I gave a speech about financial regulatory reform in 2007, before our current crisis, in 2008, before we fully knew what this crisis was going to be. We've released financial reform as a package over a year ago, and so we're not jumping. We've been pushing this hard throughout.
So, you know, that's the problem, is then they always say, oh, we're rushing, we need to go back to the table.
Of course, what they really mean is let's not do it your way, or let's not do it at all. And, you know, it's interesting, there's been a little bit of cooperation on financial regulatory reform. Obviously, we've passed it on the House side. It's in the Senate. There's been some discussion with some of the Republican senators there. But at the end of the day, they said, we're not going to vote for this, and it becomes a lot harder to reach that kind of compromise. And this is one area where the Republicans have again tried to demonize this legislation into something it's completely not, to suggest that this is somehow preparing for another bailout of Wall Street is really exactly the opposite of, at least from a technical
point
of view, it's the opposite of what we're trying to do. We're trying to say we need to have the kind of oversight regulation of the financial markets, and we have to protect the consumers, and we have to have the financial sector itself prepare for unforeseen, very serious difficulties that put us into what is a very deep recession we're just finally climbing out of, and so that it doesn't affect the taxpayer, that we don't have to rely on the taxpayer in the future.
Right.
So it's actually the exact opposite of what you're saying. So,
well, exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, once again,
cooperation, but I'm not sure we're going to see it. Hopefully we can, but I'm not sure we're going to see it.
Once again, Congresswoman, I mean, we've seen the Frank Luntz memo. That is absolutely their plan. Just lie. Put a lie out there and say it often enough so that, you know, people think it's a bailout bill. And I think it's not going to work this time. The other thing that I took heart in is what the president said yesterday about the Supreme Court nomination, because I think that, Congresswoman, we're going to, no matter who he nominates, they're going to be against them, right? And so, you know, when we're replacing a liberal on the court, here's the president yesterday on the nomination.
I want somebody who is going to be interpreting our Constitution in a way that takes into account individual rights, and that includes women's rights. And that's going to be something that's very important to me.
So, you know,
it was a good statement.
Yep. Yep.
And a fairly moderate one. I mean, it's clear where he is. It's clear, that if that's a, an issue for Republicans, that they want to, they'll make an issue of it. But, the fact is that the president is going to look for someone who will, of course, protect the Constitution, protect Americans, and he's going to look for someone smart and capable who we can rely on for many, many years through very many different kinds of political dynamics to do right by the American people.
Yes, I would prefer someone younger, maybe Dakota Fanning, somebody.
Oh, stop.
As a woman, this warmed my heart yesterday.
I think part of what our core constitutional values promote is the notion that individuals are protected in their privacy and their bodily integrity, and women are not exempt from that.
Yep. Yeah, I wonder if all these people protesting to get the government out of their lives are going to... stand with the president on that.
Well, I think the president is doing all the right things again in reaching out to Republicans, saying we do not want this to be, a really vicious political fight. Of course, it is going to, we're not going to see much cooperation, I think, from Republicans. But that's, elections matter. Once the president got elected, this will be the second Supreme Court appointment. It's significant. It weighs heavily, I think, in the most positive sense of that. This being a very important decision on the part of any president, because it really does.
I mean, he's appointing someone beyond his own, you know, legacy, you know. So it's an important one, and hopefully we'll see again some reasoned response from the Republicans. You're right. We don't know we're going to get that or not, but he's certainly going to try and find someone who's going to be, I think, hard to challenge in the sense of their integrity and honesty and perspective.
That is so cute.
Country.
That's so cute that you even hope for that still. But Congresswoman Alison Schwartz from the great state of Pennsylvania, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, there she goes. Congresswoman, oh, that is so, she's almost as naive as I am,
yep.
Jim. Maybe this time they'll really work with us for the good of the country.
Just click here, she gets it three times. Say this.
All of you were waking up blinky on Christmas morning.
Blink, blink.
My,
the Republicans gave us coal again. President Obama opened the Supreme Court suggestion box to senators on Wednesday and said he will weigh a candidate's commitment to women's rights. As we just said, he mm-hmm. said he will nominate his candidate by May 26th. Robert Gibbs yesterday.
I think he will have a broad group of people that represent
and a group of broads
many that represent America as a way of looking at the nominee.
Senator Jeff Sessions, the pointy-eared, teeny-tiny little senator from Alabama.
I just don't believe judges should be empowered to redefine the meaning of our Constitution, our statutes, to enhance the government's power to intervene in a lot of different areas.
Oh, you mean like declaring corporations to be citizens, something like
that? Yeah, overturning how many years of precedent? Oh, like that. Huh. Mm, interesting.
Thomas Jefferson was concerned about corporations. Centuries ago.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
I don't believe judges ought to uphold the law like,
like
that abortion thing. We don't like that one, so I don't think they should do that.
Dave in Buffalo on the olden days. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. I'll try and make this quick, so follow along. Mm. There's a local medical group that started business 100 years ago, and they advertise that their first pediatric patient cost $1.63. Now, my grandmother in the 30s made 7 cents an hour. So if you extrapolate that, that's 23 hours of wages. As she works as a bookkeeper. A bookkeeper now makes about $15 an hour. The bill then, these days, would have been about $380. So if you walked into your doctor's office and offered them something that's worth what a chicken back then would be worth, let's say $10, for a $379 bill, they would have you arrested.
Yes, and also there's probably some law prohibiting livestock in a doctor's office. Probably some kind of sanitation situation.
You know, some sort of hoof and mouth disease or whatever.
Exactly.
Or beak and mouth.
And then what sort of animal would you have to be able to afford to cure that? You'd need a friggin' cow or
a
something.
Horse.
You'd need a Kobe beef
doctor,
cow.
Doctor, I've got this degenerative nerve disease. I'm going to need 24/7 care for the next 20 years. You want the rest of my sandwich? Ooh,
you
chicken salad.
You want one of my fries?
You're going to eat that.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Rocky, add that to my raging insomnia list. I just watched that the other night. Last night, I watched Steel Magnolias, let's see, what else? Oh, dear God, it's been a really bad insomnia
what
period.
What is wrong with you? Hell for me.
Yeah, it was. It was like a Chickapalooza fest last night. I watched Bridges of Madison County, Steel Magnolias. But I did also throw in Remember the Titans. That was on, too.
That's not going to make you fall asleep.
I had a little testosterone in my estrogen.
That's not going to make you fall asleep. You need to put on C-SPAN or something.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. Representative Loretta Sanchez coming up. Let's see. Sherry in Spokane on naming our Congressman Alan Grayson segment. Hello, Sherry.
Hi. You guys are so fun.
Thank you.
How about Get It On with Grayson? Mm-hmm. It appeals to both the lover and fighter in us.
All right. I like it. Although We may need to avoid, you know, full-on having sex euphemisms with the, yeah. All right. Mickey in Los Angeles.
I'd like to say the Alan Grayson's Project instead of the Alan
Parsons Project. That's funny.
That's funny. I'm writing that one down. Okay, hang on.
You could use an Alan Parsons song as the jingle.
There you go. All right, Marco.
Rubio.
Polo. Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear.
Got it wrong.
A widening federal criminal investigation into the state Republican Party's credit card usage is unsettling the Florida Republican primary. Oh, dear. That's too much. Couldn't happen to a nicer party. The IRS now exploring the tax records of Rubio, deciding whether he improperly used party credit cards for personal expenses, like apparently back waxing. Marco Rubio.
Oh, these are political funds, not taxpayer funds. They were spent for political purposes. There were some instances where I made personal expenses, and I paid for those out of my own pocket, and back-waxing. I did so months before any of this was even written about. Mm.
Did you pay for that comb over?
How hairy is your back?
Oh.
I mean, Robin Williams hairy? Could you be hunted
probably,
for your pelt?
Yeah.
Just wondering. One political consultant down there called the likely winner in all this, the Democratic nominee, Kendrick Meek, the clear-cut winner. And go, way to go, Tea Party! It's your birthday! It's your birthday!
Kendrick Meek is going to be joining us very, very soon on the program.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the RNC spent more than $300,000 on a controversial January convention in Hawaii, in the socialist foreign country of Hawaii.
The exotic socialist...
Thank
foreign
God
no-hole?
They've got fiscal conservatives running that party, like Marco Rubio and Michael Steele. Okay, sorry. They're the party of fiscal conservatives, don't you know?
Right.
That's what they're going to do with your money. Alrighty. All right. So the Mitch McChinless, did you see this, Jim? He took credit for forcing Democrats to resume serious talks on financial reform, a claim that top Senate leaders laughed off as wildly overblown.
Yeah.
You know what else I watched last night? First Wives Club. And I was thinking that those Goldie Hawn lips, that's what Mitch McChinless needs. He needs Rob Reiner to inject some collagen into his, you know what I'm saying?
How many movies did you watch last night? Sounds like you watched 4.
I have the worst insomnia ever.
Good Lord, woman. You need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
All right. The president yesterday on the Goldman Sachs.
The SEC is an entirely independent agency that we have no day-to-day control over, and they never discussed with us anything with respect to the charge that would be brought. So this notion that somehow there would be any attempt to interfere in an independent agency is completely false.
Jim, that would be your idea of hell on earth, wouldn't it? Being forced to snuggle with me while watching First Wives Club.
Bridges of Madison
Steel Magnolias County. And Bridges of Madison County.
Well, I don't know. The nookie might be worth it.
Oh, for the love of God.
Exactly, because it makes you all emotional. And, yeah. All right.
I don't want Mom and Dad to be talking about sex in front of me.
Austin Goolsbee, whom we know from the White House Council of Economic Advisors.
It's time for the touchdown. I mean, let's be done with this. I think we're going to have a bipartisan bill. I think the president is confident about that.
Yes, absolutely. And hopefully we will get her done, as they say. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Loretta Sanchez kicked some ass on TV last night. She will join us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
/songwriter/volunteer fear fighter, I find
Stephanie Miller
incredibly sexual.
Oh boy. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. You know, I sometimes see Representative Loretta Sanchez on TV, and I want to freeze her in Carbonite as the national treasure that she is. If only I could get it to work on the TV. Representative Loretta Sanchez, my homegirl from California. Good morning.
Hey, Steph. How are you today?
I'm good. You did a kick-ass job last night on TV.
Well, thank you so much. It was quite fun, especially with another Californian who didn't understand what he was talking about.
Yes, Representative Bill Bray, you were in your snappy red suit, kicking ass and taking names on this Arizona ridiculous immigration law. You know, explain to us what your point was in general on that.
Well, the law, and it begins in the very first sentence of that law that they have passed, and it's on the governor's desk either for veto or to sign, says that that regular cops can stop a person because they suspect they're illegally in the country. In other words, what's suspicious about them? And so he went on to say that it wasn't about race and it wasn't about ethnicity.
Oh, please.
And as a Hispanic, I mean, I'm thinking, well, then how do you figure out if these people are illegally here? And he went on to say, well, they just dress differently. Even they wear different shoes. And I was thinking to myself, okay, so if I put a sombrero on, does that make me illegal in this country?
I could see you trying to stifle a laugh when he said that. It's like, oh, please, this does not pass the laugh test. It's like, oh, it has nothing to do with race. It's different shoes or anything could set it off. It's just, I mean, it is so ridiculous, Congresswoman. You were saying as a congressperson of the United States, you'd be afraid to go through Arizona. You could get pulled over, and if you don't have the right documentation with you, you know?
You know, we have this long-standing issue in the United States that a lot of conservatives and libertarians and people who, you know, we have this thing about don't intrude in my life. And
right.
We have a thing about not carrying around a national ID card. And a lot of people don't want to be in databases. They don't want all their information someplace for people to hack into. They don't want to have to carry an ID card around and justify their existence in whatever town they're in, et cetera, et cetera. That's what makes us American. It makes us very different than Europe, where you have to check in and give your passport at every hotel that you're hanging out at, et cetera, et cetera. So,
see, now that would be a great news story, though, if you were to go through Arizona and get pulled over. See, then we would get the attention we need. They'd be like, oh, sure, you have a congressperson ID. You can get those made in Tijuana. Sure.
You know, so I was asking, but what is it that I would have to carry around? Would it be a driver's license? Would it be a birth certificate? Would I have to have 16 affidavits from people who know me, who actually saw my birth in California? You know, because you can get all sorts of birth certificates for $5 on the corner someplace around here. I mean, you know, there's so many forged documents. And what do you want me to carry? Because obviously you think, you know, someone could think I'm suspicious because I'm Hispanic.
Yeah, well, it's crazy time in Arizona. They're also, you know, have this resolution that President Obama has to produce his birth certificate if he wants to be on the ballot. I mean, you literally think with all the problems facing our country, seriously, this is what you're working on, you know?
Well, it's really sad because, of course, we are so intent on trying to turn this economy around. Finally, today, we've seen a few bright spots, less people getting unemployment insurance, more, you know, jobs being created. The profit margins of the larger companies have been in the black in the last few days as they've reported them. Many of them saying, you know, we're going to start hiring now. The stock market has sort of, you know, edged up a little bit. So home sales of existing homes shot up 16%. In this last quarter, part of that is, of course, this great home buyers deal that
right.
we have going on from the federal government and from the state of California. If you time it exactly right and buy in the next month, get into a contract in the next month, and it's your first home, and you make under $125,000, or you've been in your home for 5 years and you're selling it and you're buying a new home, you will qualify for that. I mean, so we are seeing people buying up homes that have come down in value in Orange County and other places, but we're beginning to stabilize. And part of that has been this money and the stimulus effort and everything that we've put out from the federal government. So, you know, we've been working really hard on this, and then you've got a legislature in Arizona working on the birther issue. I mean,
yeah, please. Now you applauded several insurance companies recently that are voluntarily providing coverage for graduating college seniors and young adults in advance of the September start date dictated in the new health care law. So I mean, that this is very significant that, you know, things are going to actually be implicated that you guys work so hard for.
Well, there are several things coming forward in the next 6 months with respect to this. The first one, of course, all the way up until age 26, that birthday of 26, you can be covered under your parent's policy if your parent has a policy. You can get your insurance through that, and that's a big deal because about 50% of kids, I only call them kids because, you know, I'm getting on in years here.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just jealous, by the way, the youth, you know.
Anyone that knows how to operate an iPhone app is a kid to me.
Hey, you guys, I don't mean to call you kids. You're just very lucky. And you know, the sad thing is you don't realize how lucky you are until you get as old as we are, and then you go, oh, my God, why didn't I figure it out then? But so anyway, these young people who are graduating college don't get a job because there are no jobs that we have, and they don't have insurance, and something could happen to them. So now we're going to cover them. People have to start covering them September, but these couple of companies have said, okay, we're going to start right away. So that's one thing. A second thing, if you have a child who has a pre-existing condition like asthma or something of the sort, no child will be left off of their parents' policies for a pre-existing condition. That's a lifesaver for so many parents, and that will start by September also. And then, of course, a really big one which people don't realize, even if you have health care insurance, you are limited in total on most policies to no more payout from insurance policies for health care in total, aggregate, everyone right. that you've ever carried, no more than $1 million. Well, think about it. You get a heart attack, that's probably $1 million right there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You could offer
the doctor a chicken if you're the Republican woman running against Harry Reid.
Yeah,
did you?
I saw that barter woman. I mean, bartering is great. You know, a lot of people do it in Orange County. You know, Dennis giving some work and he's getting something. But, you know, that's not the way to run. The most efficient way to run the system is to have, you know, some denomination, whether it's, you know, banking accounts, checks, money, currency. That's why we've evolved from the bargaining, bartering society to a more advanced society.
Yeah, well, you know, Congresswoman, I'm, as you know, from L.A., and I would do this radio show just for Cuckoo-Roo chicken, which is my personal favorite. But it, as a health care plan, it falls a little short. Now, let me ask you about the Supreme Court nomination, because it warmed my heart to hear the president talking about women's rights yesterday, that he is going to, you know, nominate someone that who will take into account individual rights, including women's rights. And I'm happy to hear that.
Well, as you know, we have a conservative court because over the years Bush and others have been able to appoint, and so we've seen that, whether it's a campaign finance reform issue that they overturned recently. And so it's interesting to hear, and I hope we can get a good person nominated and get them through the process over there in the Senate, that he is looking to someone who's more, I wouldn't say liberal, but more modern, more open-minded, and more about individual rights. And one of those rights, as defined by the court in Roe versus Wade, has been the right of privacy, and the right of privacy for a woman, and therefore the right for a woman to take into account and have some choices with respect to reproduction and having babies. So I'm hoping that he will do the right thing and nominate someone that would be probably more to your and my liking.
Yep, absolutely. Now, speaking of awesome women, what's going on in our home state with Senator Barbara Boxer, who, in my opinion, is one of the finest senators we've ever had? I mean, could she really lose? I mean, I'm maybe not getting it. Carly Fiorina ran Hewlett-Packard into the ground and then bailed out with a golden parachute. I'm not sure, like, what her qualifications are or how.
Right.
What's happening in that race, do you think?
If you go back and read the front page of the Wall Street Journal during the last 6 months of her reign, of Fiona's reign, you will see how they did just these in-depth stories of how she just couldn't get along with people. She couldn't negotiate well. She was running the company into the ground. She wasn't paying attention. She was, you know, jobs were being lost left and right. Opportunities were being missed. And you know, and I told Barbara Boxer the other day, all you got to do is pull up this stuff. I know, because I read the Wall Street Journal.
Yep.
I was a former investment banker, you know, and I read that. I said, there was her own industry, you know, big business, was writing about what a terrible people person she was, what
yep.
a terrible manager she was. You know, when you're in government, when you are a United States senator, you got to get along with your colleagues. You've got to have ideas. You've got to be willing to go out and push and persuade people. You have to
yep.
have good negotiation skills.
Yep.
Doesn't
and,
sound like this Fiona woman would be a very good senator for
and
our state.
Congresswoman, let me say one more thing. I've had nothing but trouble with my HP PhotoSmart printer, and I just think that's important to mention here.
That's probably from her era.
Yep. Exactly. Representative Loretta Sanchez from Orange County, California, who we love. Thank you so much, Congresswoman.
My pleasure. Thanks, Stephanie. Have a great day.
You too. See you next time. All right. I'm just saying. It's just one more thing to throw in the kitty. And B-Box rocks. Get off your
she
stuff.
Does.
Go help Barbara box it, for God's sakes. All right. 45 minutes.
Send her some chickens.
No.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow on the big show, legal animist, analyst.
He might be an animist. We don't know.
Ian Milhauser on the Supreme Court nomination. Comedian Aisha Tyler, whom we love, who is hilarious.
Right. And also, that's because she's hilarious. That's why we love her.
Well, Jim loves her because she's hot, but she's also hilarious.
And also, we're having a couple of makeup guests tomorrow. We have Eric Bollert on in hour one tomorrow.
And he'll be wearing makeup?
No. And Charlie Pierce is going to be appearing in hour three, making up for the time that they missed earlier this week.
Yeah, when they stiffed Mama. Fine. All right. All right. And I think Mama's going to be on MSNBC today at, 3:30 or something.
What?
I was too busy media whoring during the commercial break.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay.
Doing my... All right.
Are you going to be on with that Donnie Deutsch show?
I don't know. Listen, we'll shoot you a little email when I find out.
All right.
Oh, dear. Jim, did you see this? There are pictures of the Queen in commemoration of Queen Elizabeth's 84th birthday. There's a display of rarely seen baby photos of the Queen. She looks exactly the same, just smaller. I don't know. It's weird. You know, it's like that bald guy with the black glasses in that commercial. There's like the big one and the little one. Yeah. It's exactly the same. Okay.
Was she amused?
We are not amused.
I'm guessing
nude
not.
Pictures of us as a baby.
Yeah, they were nudes. I'm guessing she was not amused.
No.
Delisted writing, Courtney Love, the trout mermaid hybrid who got caught in a gay fisherman's net, taking a magic eraser to the name everyone knows her as. Courtney Love no longer wants to be called Courtney Love. She said, the name Courtney Love is a way to oppress me.
What?
She is. Dull parts.
She's now going by the name Courtney Michelle.
But nobody knows her by that.
I know.
I saw her the other day, actually.
Really?
At a Courtney Love sighting.
D-listed writes, was she snorting light bulb dust when she came up with this mess?
Light bulb dust?
Wow.
That's desperation.
Heather Locklear arrested Saturday morning for murdering a no parking sign with her car and driving off, according to TMZ. I'm sure there was nothing involved.
Well, we can't.
Well, she does have a mugshot from a previous incident
from 2006.
Where she looks like Nick Nolte. So I'm just saying.
Actually,
she looks pretty
hot.
She does look
that.
Hot.
Yeah, she's one of
looks
the hot
like she's
ones.
Been crying, but she's still hot.
Just like Jim likes them vulnerable.
Oh, God.
Can I give you a ride home from jail? All right. The headline is Woman Drops Rape Lawsuit Against David Copperfield. Say it with me. It was all an illusion.
Wait, this was a woman?
Yeah, that's about the main reason I thought it was an illusion in the first place.
See, you could find where I've hidden the coin.
Ew.
I don't know. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are getting married. What? Now I don't know what the hell team to be on. I've always been on Team Jen, and I don't know. All right.
I thought they were married. Wow.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Huh.
No. All right. Kate Gosselin, eight minus Kate. Gosselin axed from Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Has-Beens?
Yes.
Yeah. How will I...
never was his.
How will I go on?
I knew that you'd be broken up, Jim. All right. And then last breaking news in the entertainment stack, bisexual men sue gay softball World Series because they were not gay enough to participate.
Oh, no.
Sounds
sorry,
like
you
some
have to be
gay
totally gay.
They did not pass. Three bisexual men are suing a national gay athletic organization. I know. It's a, what do you call it? An athletic
say
supporter.
What a fabulous winner treatment. I can't say that. You're out! Go away!
Saying they were discriminated against during the Gay Softball World Series held in Seattle 2 years ago. The three Bay Area men say the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance.
Wow. What does that spell?
That's a lot of... In essence, deemed them not gay enough to participate in the series and did not allow them to play in their gay reindeer games.
Okay, then.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Wow.
All right, and it entirely...
That sounds, if I may say, a little bitchy.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds really gay. All right. In an entirely unrelated story, the Health Ethics Committee on Wednesday opened what it said will be a full and complete investigation into whether anyone covered up information that former Representative Eric Massa sexually harassed male staff members. Chris, can you even keep track of this anymore? Massa's campaign wrote a $40,000 check to the guy raising the allegation, and then... Massa came out and said that was forged and it wasn't from him. And
this is all too sordid and seedy for me. It's
Actually, at the tickle parties, I was kind of done.
Well, the snorkeling, too.
Yeah, I was done during that whole thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, it's another obstructionist asshat story. What do you know? Republicans have been blocking votes on nominees to federal posts, taking longer to confirm President Obama's nominees to executive agencies than nominees submitted by the previous three administrations. There's a backlog now, so of 101 executive branch nominees that have yet to be voted on, Claire McCaskill and Sheldon Whitehouse took aim at this tactic as they began reading the names of the stalled federal nominees. Representative John Kyle of Arizona stepped up as the obstructionist Republican asshat of the day. He appeared and began objecting to the two senators' unanimous consent request and ultimately blocking votes on 97 nominees. Good job. Good job, party of no. All right. Dave in San Francisco on chickens. Hello, Dave.
Oh, hey, Steph and Jan Mooks. You know, I had something for each of you. My hypothalamus is bigger than Chris's, I bet.
Wow. Mm.
And Jim, I was going to say there's a quick little conspiracy watch. I was on assignment down in Guantanamo. I was supposed to be interviewing the son of the devil, and I saw he wasn't down there, Chertoff. So just wondering why the religious right aren't working on that one. But the I wanted to mention about the chicken health care.
Yes.
When I was out in Colorado, the economy was terrible. And when I married out there, my wife had kids, and so I was having to deal with a lot of different teeth. So I tended 52 varieties of iris to take care of the dental bill for a good dentist out there. And
iris as in the flowers?
Oh yeah, 52 varieties. It was a wonderful job. And and I also got a lobotomy, but I can't remember how I paid for that one.
Oh, it's funny, you see, it's a little jokes from the listeners.
Jokes better have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. But I want to tell you, jokes
all right,
the folks.
Carl in Chicago, you get the last one on the Arizona law. Go ahead.
Hey, Steph, they fixed the problem in Phoenix. Everything's okay. They came out with a solution. Uh-huh. If you blow more than a .8 on the bean and tortilla meter, and if you refuse to open your saddlebags, that's reasonable suspicion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. Bye bye now.
What a way to end the show there.
I always go just a little bit longer than I should.
Can we rewind and another call?
We'll edit that out in post. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank...
Apparently we can.
Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.